So in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be talking about traveling restrictions for Thanksgiving, how they function, where they are, and maybe a bit about leadership.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so it's almost Thanksgiving. I'm putting this out the day before Thanksgiving, on Wednesday rather than Thursday. And I want to talk about Thanksgiving travel, the way people are gathering. November 19th, the CDC came out and said, hey, please don't travel. And if you do, just be really careful and abide by certain protocols. But then you saw this rash of governors that were doing these like insane things. Like in Oregon, you can only meet with or have six people in your home. Six people. I mean, this is the United States. Now, I understand it's a health crisis. I get that. But it's a little heavy-handed for the governor to say you can have no more than six people. In New York, I think it's 10. In Montgomery County, it's 8. And it varies across. Chicago has things. So it varies across where you are in what municipality. There're memes all over the internet where sheriff's departments, for example, in New York, were saying, and the ones in New York got a lot of publicity because this was pushing back on Cuomo, saying, "Hey, you can't meet in you know more than 10 people. We're not enforcing that. So we have other things to act, real laws to police." And the New York Times came out this morning with a breathless, detailed map of where Americans are staying home for Thanksgiving. And what they show is that states that went for Trump are the greatest offenders. And it must be nice to be in a New York Times world where everybody is like you and thinks just like you. And you know, you can breathlessly show how right you are all the time. At any rate, so and it is true, the breakdown of people that are traveling for Thanksgiving by state are, you know, people from it's like top 10 most traveling states are all red, and the bottom 20 are Wyoming and Alaska, and the rest are all blue. And then they break down what's interesting is, you know, who's traveling when by affiliation. And when I look at the graph, I see the CDC urges Americans not to travel, and there's a slight decline from about 23% to about 21% for Democrats. And there's a major decline from about 35% to about 29% for Republicans. So the gist of the story kind of was that all these bad Republicans are still traveling. And it rose up in the last few days to about 30% from about 35%. And so at any rate, but the major story was that Republicans are doing this traveling. Well, Republicans are also far more interested in seeing family, and I think that's the real story here than what you see. And they break it out by, you know, who it is that's you know going to be traveling, not just by state, whatever, but by party. And they say something like you know the real story might be you know who you know by party affiliation. Democrats 22%. Republicans 34%. Who's doing it the most? Libertarian and Green Party at 38-37% respectively. Those are the people that are, you know, going to be doing it. It doesn't matter what you say, I'm still going to do it. And I think that tells you a bit about how they see the world. Okay, now I want to shift gears from the New York Times article, and I'll post the link below, to another article. Now remember, there are these in-home gathering restrictions, which I don't know how that has the force of law. This is a governor saying this. This isn't a state legislature doing it and then having the approval of the government duly set into law. I think this is just executive order. You got to be careful with executive orders. They don't really hold a lot. Okay, at any rate, so this is WSAV, NBC affiliate that put this out. Traveling for Thanksgiving. Check out COVID-19 restrictions by state. And so I'm just going to go through the several states and I'm going to read what it is that that they have. So several states, I'm quoting now, several states are requiring a negative COVID-19 test before entering and are requesting or requiring visitors to self-quarantine for up to 14 days before arrival. So I'm putting this out on Wednesday, the day that people travel for Thanksgiving break. You know, like Thanksgiving is Thursday. People tend to travel on Wednesday. Some will travel on Thursday, and then they come back on Saturday or Sunday, right? So if you are reading this, you should have self-quarantined for the last 2 weeks before gathering. Okay, here you go. Alaska. Alaska says all people traveling to Alaska must arrive with proof of qualifying negative COVID-19 test. Also submit a travel declaration and a self-isolation plan. Okay, now Alaska can actually kind of monitor this because most people don't just drive into Alaska. Most people will fly into Alaska. I guess some will come through Canada, but either way, if you're coming across the Canadian border or if you're coming by plane, you can probably enforce that. Okay, Connecticut. People traveling to Connecticut who are coming from a state other than New York or New Jersey or Rhode Island with a higher than 10% positivity rate are required to self-quarantine upon arrival. Now, that's one of the things that I find funny. Like, why are New York and New Jersey accepted? Like, they have COVID too. So I guess, you know, well, they're neighbors. They can't be a problem. Like, you know. Okay, next, Hawaii, they must show a proof of negative COVID-19 test that was administered by an approved testing partner. Okay, that seems reasonable. And they can, you know, enforce that because you're flying in or taking a boat in. Illinois, as a state, does not have travel restrictions. However, the city of Chicago does. The article goes on to say, traveling from a red state in terms of the, I love how they, you know, call this a red state for in terms of transmission. Utah, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, or Indiana must quarantine for up to 14 days upon arrival. That would mean forget Thanksgiving, but you might be able to stay for Christmas. Visitors coming from an orange state, that's all other states except Vermont and Maine, have the option to quarantine for 14 days or have proof of negative test result upon arrival to the city. Okay, that's a bizarre ruling. It's not going to work. You can't really enforce it. Okay, Kentucky. Kentucky issued a travel advisory. Now, listen to the different language. In some places, you must. In some, it's a advisory. And just so you'll see different states have this. And they generally fall out by political affiliation, with a few exceptions. You'll see at the very end. Kentucky issued a travel advisory, and I'm quoting again, travel advisory with the recommendation of a 14-day self-quarantine for travelers who went to any of the states reporting a positive testing rate equal or greater to 15%. So that's a very high bar, 15%. Maine says, people coming from outside of the state, except Vermont and New Hampshire, hey, you know, they're neighbors, they can't have coronavirus, must have a proof of negative COVID test. Okay, a proof of negative COVID test seems like a reasonable standard, right? I mean, 14-day quarantine sounds a little, that's a little iffy, but okay, bring your proof of a negative COVID test, except you guys in Vermont and New Hampshire, because you guys can't get sick, apparently. Massachusetts must complete a Massachusetts travel form and either quarantine for 14 days or produce a negative COVID-19 test. Okay, again, at least it's saying you must, but it's also at least being somewhat reasonable if you can produce a negative COVID-19 test. New Hampshire, those traveling from outside New England who are visiting are asked to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Now, listen to New Hampshire. This is the libertarian brother up there, the weird uncle in what's otherwise a very liberal neighborhood in New England. New Hampshire is the libertarian one. Live free or die, right? That's New Hampshire. Those traveling outside of New England who are visiting are asked to self-quarantine for the 2 weeks. Negative PCR test on or after 7 days of quarantining, they may shorten the end of their quarantine. Again, it's absurd to think that they're going to quarantine for 2 weeks to come for Thanksgiving, but whatever. Okay, New Jersey. New Jersey's state website says, quote, the 14-day self-quarantine is voluntary, but compliance is expected. I mean, no, I'm not kidding. It says that. Okay, I know my voice changed here. Let me say it again. The 14-day self-quarantine is voluntary, but compliance is expected. Okay, so, you know, a little heavy-handed there, New Jersey. New Mexico says, due to the, quote, alarming spread of COVID-19, New Mexico officials are asking visitors to self-quarantine for 14 days upon arrival. Again, 14 days is unreasonable, but at least you're asking, not telling. New York, coming to New York, you must have a negative test within 3 days before arriving in New York. Traveler must then quarantine for 3 days. On the fourth day, visitors must obtain a additional negative test before they can leave their quarantine. Okay, so that's almost a reasonable thing to be asking for people traveling for Thanksgiving. To quarantine for 3 days sounds kind of weird, but it's still not 14 days. That's, you know, bad. Now, Cuomo has recently said, you can only have, 10 gathering of 10, not more than 10 people within the house. You're supposed to wear masks the whole time. But he was going to have family over, and, he had to backpedal from that because politicians tend to get into this and do as I say. It's for your good, but not as I do, because, I know better. I know how to handle it. Ohio, those traveling to Ohio who come from a state reporting positive testing rates of 15% or higher are advised to quarantine for 14 days. Again, very high bar, but 14 days is a little unreasonable. That's what everybody keeps saying. Oregon, while the test is not required to enter the state, a 14-day self-quarantine is included in the state's travel advisory. Pennsylvania, you must present a negative COVID test that was taken within 72 hours of arriving in the state. Now, Pennsylvania is, it's funny because all this shows the red-blue disparity, and Pennsylvania is clearly a purple state, and they have the most reasonable standard, right? Pennsylvania, if you're going to hold a standard, just if you're coming into the state, show me that you have a COVID test taken within the last 2 days or 3 days that shows that you don't have it. No quarantine for 14 days or that kind of nonsense, or, six people in the house, like Oregon or whatever. Okay, Rhode Island. In Rhode Island, you must have proof of a negative COVID test, and if they're coming from a state with greater than 5% positivity rate. Now, I was shocked by Rhode Island, because Rhode Island is, a pretty blue state, a pretty, again, blue states tend to be much more heavy-handed in this. And again, there's a burden of leadership here, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But they tend to be much more heavy-handed. Rhode Island is no exception of being blue, but that's a pretty reasonable thing. Have proof of a negative COVID test if you're coming from a state with greater than, now it's a low bar, 5% positivity as opposed to like 15%. But okay, that's a pretty reasonable standard. Just have proof. Okay, Vermont. Any travelers coming to Vermont must quarantine for 14 days. Washington, D.C. If you're traveling to states with more than 10 COVID-19 cases per 100,000, they must receive a negative COVID test 72 hours before traveling into D.C. If a visitor stays for more than 3 days, they're required to get another COVID test, and this excludes people from Virginia and Maryland who, they don't get it. They can't have COVID apparently. So that's kind of a ridiculous thing. Okay, at any rate, Washington's travel advisory, quote, recommending a 14-day quarantine for out-of-state travelers. And okay, that's the last one. They went in alphabetical order. Okay, so what's the long and short of this? So, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, it's really interesting how different states have these absurd standards, like 14 days of self-quarantine, which if you're coming to stay for a few weeks, that's one thing, or coming to stay to live, that's one thing. But we're talking about Thanksgiving. You're not going to be able to enforce it. Now, let's talk about the leadership-ishy part of why we're talking about this. Put yourself in the place of a governor. You want to enforce, laws that are going to protect people. You want to make sure that your citizens aren't hurt, and still, not slow down commerce or whatever else. So in this process, governors have a heavy duty. But it's like they're being punitive in many cases, and it's I'm not sure how well it's going to work, because if you put out restrictions that people just can't follow, I mean like legitimately can't follow, like who has the 2 weeks to self quarantine before going to see grandma? Well, now so hold on, let me back up. If you're going to see grandma, don't go see grandma. Like virtually, go Skype or Zoom in or do something like that. Like my family. Most of my aunts and uncles are like in their 80s. So they, my cousin, where they normally eat for, meet for Thanksgiving, canceled. I set up a Zoom link, so we're going to be able to all virtually meet. I think that's a reasonable thing. You want to keep people out of harm's way. Younger people, I don't know that you have to worry about it nearly to the same degree, but certainly protect people that you love. Okay, I think that's a basic standard. Now, governors are doing this with the force of law, or force of pretend law. A governor's executive order, I'm not sure if it's worth the paper it's printed on. Most of these things, like this house, you can't meet in with more than six people. It's an executive order. That's not the same as running it through the legislature, the House and then the Senate, and then the governor signs it, and it really has the force of law. It's not, that's not how it's going down. So that's a complicating factor. So first, they have this obligation and this responsibility, but they tend to be a little heavy-handed in how they're applying it. I worked for bosses that only knew one setting, like it was only nuke. You either nuke or you don't do it. Like, do as I say and we're gonna smash, like Hulk smash, right? That kind of thing. And that never was received well. There's a principle in martial arts that you wanna use the least force necessary to accomplish the objective. Judo talks about the easiest way to, flip your opponent and beat him with the earth, okay? But the easiest way of getting there, in the striking martial arts, they're talking about the least expenditure of force to accomplish the objective. That's how these governors ought to be thinking. What's the least amount that I can put on people in order to keep this quelled? Because nobody wants to spread it. Like, nobody wants COVID to spread any more than they have to. But when you put these obscene, when I say obscene, I mean obscene. Really, you have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks before you spend a day or two with your relatives. That doesn't make any sense. So if I'm thinking as a leader, I'm thinking like this. Like, there's an analog with masks. Think about the mask mandates. And they got a lot of backlash. Why'd they get a lot of backlash? Because they're mandates. Because why are you mandating? Do you have the power or the authority to mandate something like that? I think with the mask, if you just said, look, I'm not telling you, this is not force of law, I'm not asking the police department to enforce this, but I am personally putting on this mask. I'm asking if you would do that. I understand that the mask doesn't actually work. It's like, pushing germs through a fence, like this, those metal gates that have 3 inches between each metal, right? It's like that. I mean, it's not really going to work, but the mask will remind us to stay away from each other. I guess you could do the same thing with garlic, but the mask will remind us to stay away from each other. And if you wear the mask, be a good neighbor. You wear it, they wear it. It helps you socially distance, and it helps us not have this. I'm going to wear this mask, and I'm asking that you would too. Now, if a governor said that, we would all be much more likely to oblige him and say, you know what? That's right. He doesn't have the actual right to cause us to do that. He can't send us to jail for it. So you take out all the force, all the fight out of people who somehow take umbrage to that. And by leading by example, by actually doing it, you're sending that message. So I think it's kind of like that. So governors, don't be heavy-handed, but the reason that they're heavy-handed is because they're used to the force of law. Law is force, says Bastiat, right? Law is always force. It's not asking you, would you like to pay your taxes? It's requiring it. And so when you're used to a system where you push people with power, you tend not to influence. You tend to use power. I was in class the other night, and we were talking about a case study. where this new CFO comes into the organization, starts making all these changes. We're going to start measuring how much time you're on the phone and measuring how long the materials are on the docks. And so people would respond to those incentives, and it just jacked up the whole system because he didn't ask what needs to be done. He came in thinking, oh, I know what needs to be done, and then just imposed his system on the organization. And it looked like it was working for a while until it all imploded, and it really wreaked havoc. Now, part of this was that he wasn't listening because he didn't have to. And one of the comments that I made to the class was like, when you get into a position of power, you can't just assume that you know things. You have to ask. And if you ask, you'll get, you know, some feedback. If you just push, you know, because you have the power, just do it. People don't respond very well to that. And I think that's what's going on across the states, where these governors are having these absurd edicts of 6 people or 10 people or 8 people. It doesn't matter what the number is in homes. Okay, and here's why. And this brings us to our quotation for contemplation for today. And I'm going to actually have two. So the first one is by John Maxwell. John Maxwell said, "The true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less." Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have to at times use power, but remember, you use power sparingly, right? Remember that martial arts principle? You use power sparingly. When you want to lead people, influence them, okay? And what are you influencing them towards? You're influencing them toward a shared vision of how things should be. And if you're influencing them toward a shared vision will bring commitment. If I'm trying to force you to do something that you don't want to do, you can't influence people that way very easily, right? You have to have a shared values, a shared commitment. And Kuzes and Posner say, here's the second one, the second quotation for contemplation today. You can't command commitment. You have to inspire it. Governors, please use your authority. Use the bully pulpit more than the executive order. Help us understand why it's a good idea. Use your example more than you use the force of quasi-law. And if you do that, you'll get more of the compliance that you're looking for. I mean, real, true compliance, heartfelt compliance, where people are doing it because they want to get behind you, not because they feel like, oh no, I better do this or somebody's going to come get me. If you do that, you'll actually be leading rather than coercing. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. Hey, listen, thank you for listening to the Leadersmith podcast, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Please stay safe. I hope that in some way this helps you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow.